Sweet ladies. I would like to bring a message. I know this is going to be taken all the wrong way. Dying in a good old age. My wife is turning 60 years old. 60 years old. I've never been married to a 60-year-old woman. I don't really know what that's like or what it's going to be like. I hope we'll be okay. I hope. Well, she's not a granny, but though she has said that she is a granny. It depends on how bad her bursitis is going in the morning, I guess, you know, if whether she's a granny or not. But she has a long ways to catch up with old man Abraham, who the Bible says died in a good old age. And there is such a thing and a blessing of that matter of dying in a good old age. So I've been waiting over 30 years to preach this message for somebody who's well deserving of the actual content of the message. Kind of little tongue in cheek. Of somebody who's ready to die in a good old age. And we are. Now, dying in a good old age, according to the scripture, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and it's a highly honorable thing. The cry, let's say towards the king, long live the king, long live the king. It's not a wish that the king would die. It's not even just a wish that the king would live, but the king would have a great life and live long. It's sort of like live long and prosper. Now, it's not just prospering, you know, financially, but be blessed of God. So when someone would cry out, long live the king, their wish, their proclamation is for all the good of the king. That's what we wished for him. And that is a good thing. Now, living long in the Bible is used in a very general way of somebody that's being blessed of God to live a long life. That's a blessing of God. It doesn't necessarily mean somebody lives a long life, has lived a life that's pleasing to God. All right, so it's a general use, and we have to understand that. It's also true, just the opposite, that God does at times punish people with shortening their life because of their disobedience and disregard to God's word. In other words, God says, okay, you're coming out. And that does happen too, but that does not mean also that if someone passes away young, that they've done some vile, wicked thing and they deserve to be taken out. It's something that we're not going to know absolutely about, but it's still generally the case in how it's used in the Scripture. And so we just take it for the general sense that it's offered. Long live the king, blessings to the king, good things to the king, sin against God, God may take you out of here. That's, conversely, that's also true. Back in your text in Genesis 15 again tonight is where we get started with this in verse 1. Excuse me. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Shield, of course, the fiery darts is a defensive mechanism. A great reward is that which you can't achieve by the graces of God. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. One born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. I love this. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. This is one of the things I'd like to that had been really neat to be there to see that. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. He took him at his word. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. An agreement, by the way, with Stephen's sermon later on, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Everything that is going to take place, I want you to know what the end is going to be like, son. I want you to know that when it's your time to go, you're going to go in peace. I don't know about you, but if I knew that I had to embark upon what God was telling him here, I'd be a little bit nervous about the whole matter. I'd try to believe in the Lord, of course, but I would be, frankly, a little bit nervous about the whole matter. And so I think it's a point of grace for Almighty God to speak to Abram in this way, in this fashion, to tell him, when it all comes down to it, you're going to live a long life, son, and I'm going to bless you, and your life is going to end in peace. Thou shalt be buried, and here's our thought, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. A good old age. In other words, you are going to live a full life. A full life. Now, I would say 60 years is kind of getting close, 6 going 10, you know. But I would definitely say 175 years should qualify. Wouldn't you? I imagine he's still been collecting Social Security from the United States, you know. 175 years should qualify. So my wife has 115 years yet to go. 115 years. Boy, I can't wait to see what she's going to look like then. Boy, is she going to be a looker, isn't she? Genesis 25. Let's go to the fulfillment, of course, of the promise. 175 years. We were talking about something yesterday and said, I don't want to live that long. Some days I'm ready to go now. Genesis 25, you say, some days I'm ready for you to go now. Genesis 25, verse 5. Abram gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. That's 175 years. The Bible says, and then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. Exactly what God promised. An old man. You know, there's nothing wrong with being an old man. Nothing wrong with being an old lady. Amen. In grace, died in a good old age, an old man. And full of years. Now you get a little bit more insight what it actually means to have a long life and die in a good old age. You see it right here. Full. Full of what? Full of years. Full of fulfilling years. Blessed years. A life full of the duties, the blessings, the things that fill up a life with good things. Now, that's not always everything we would consider to be positive, but it's also those things that help us to grow and challenge our lives. That's also a very, very much a part of living a fulfilling life. And so we just can't say, well, you know, everything's going to be going my way. Well, I haven't found that life yet. I haven't found that life. But he lived and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people, which is often a phrase that's used, that he was buried with his people. He was buried with his people. Also, we see of Gideon in Judges 8:32, and Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. Died in a good old age. Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. So we should seek to really to have a long, a full life, and that should be our desire. If it be the will of God, if it be not, just like our Lord, it's not the will of God. So he had a life cut short. Now, to be satisfied with the days on life, it means to live our life without, some people say, leaving anything on the table, or living our life in such a way that we do not grieve over what we did not do or what we did do. But we live and we have ended our life without reluctance. And we need to be, as many people are, and God brings them as a point of grace. He brings them on their deathbed, and they'll say this, I am ready to go. I am ready to go. Now, in our home, there is a sign which reads, I would have chose you again. Or I would choose you again. That's it. I would choose you again. Now, it's happened actually in our bedroom, so I hope she's talking about me. I really do. But the Lord has given us a good life, a life with four children who love life. More importantly, they love the Lord. They're saved, they're born again, they're children of God. And they know they're saved. And they have been loved by their family, by their extended family, and they've been loved by their only, up to Brother Colt's move, their only church family. And that is good. Many children cannot say that. Many pastors could not say that. But ours can, and great will be the reward of New Heights Baptist Church for all those many gifts and things that you've done with the children. Thinking about the children, Dory was cleaning the bathtub in our first home that we rented out over here behind LaVon Drive, a Baptist Church in Garland, when she started in her way, you know, in that having our first baby girl. And they're all, still to me, my baby girls. And but not long after that, Kaselin was born. Here comes Courtney along. And everybody, of course, all the times we went in, every time they're putting that scope on them, oh, she's got such a slow heartbeat. That was just what they thought. She's going to be a boy. She's going to be a boy. Well, when she came out and I threw that leg over, I said, it's a girl. She's doing, it's a girl, and a beautiful girl. And sonograms were not what they are today. But from that day forward, she's been wrinkling up her nose. So many times through the years, she just wrinkled up that nose, you know. Do you like that? And it's repeated on occasions now. Every once in a while, you'll see Devin make that exact same face. It brings back a lot of good memories. Brother Colt came along, and for a long time there when he was a little boy, and he's modest now, but when he was young, he wasn't too modest. And I probably shouldn't tell this story, but he's not here, so I'm going to tell it anyway. Sanford and Son, how many of you know who Sanford and Son? God help us all, right, for even knowing who he is. But he's talking to Lamont one day, and somebody was talking about taking your clothes off. He said, I ain't no nudie. That's an old episode. I ain't no nudie. Well, Brother Colt had fun with that because when he was young, he did have a tendency to wear no clothes. And we'd go to summer camp, and I'd finally get him in there, and we'd get our shower, get cleaned up for the night, and it's time to, you know, get everything sorted out. We're going to have devotions and all that kind of stuff. And where is Colt? Where is Colt? Colt, where are you? And he's just bouncing around on everybody's pillows and sleeping bags with nothing on. Nothing. And I'm like, get over here, boy. What do you think you do? Get over here. Well, he has changed his mind about all of that. And he is a very modest man now, I'll tell you that. But all through those years, you know, I would refer to him affectionately as Colt Boy. Colt boy. Now, not so much publicly, but, you know, in our family. And in the morning, Colt boy, Colt boy, Colt, Colt, Colt boy. I mean, I'd sing all kinds of stupid, silly songs, you know. Colt boy, Colt boy. And that was a name that was reserved for daddy. Matter of fact, one of the interns one time heard me say that, and he turned around and he said to Brother Colt, and the Colt boy said, oh no. And he got on him real quick. I thought he was going to hit him. They said, oh no, you don't call me Colt boy. That's reserved for one person only. That's for my daddy. My daddy's the only one can call me that. You can't call me that. Don't call me that again. And I thought he was going to hit him. I thought, get him, boy, get him. You know, I'd have been proud of him had he done it. Be honest, I'd be proud of, you know. Well, I probably shouldn't have said that either. But I wouldn't suggest you try it out on him. You might just be embarrassed, you know, because he's growing bolder, by the way. He is. He's growing bolder in his mannerism as a man, you know, as a preacher, and as he should, by the way. He should. Then our baby girl came along, and Kelsey. And she had to go to East Texas for some educational things and all first thing in the morning. But I finally got to name, at least in part, one of our kids. I didn't get to name any of the others. You're out. Well, that wasn't too new, because I told her when we got married, I said, okay, you can decorate the bedroom, you can decorate the kitchen, you can decorate the bathroom, you can decorate everything, but I get to decorate the living room. I didn't get the living room. I didn't even get a part of the living room. I didn't even really get a part of the garage. Be truthful about it. I get part of the shed. That'd be about all that I'm going to get. So I was pretty excited when I got to name Kelsey, at least the second name. I didn't get to pick out the first name. I got to pick out just the middle name. It's the one that nobody seems to know most of the time, but it's Renee. Renee. Kelsey. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that. Kelsey, Renee. Foster, now, of course, Kemp. For years, our lives have been invested together. Not as pastors, because she's never been a pastor, never claimed to be a pastor, because she can't hold that role. Though she did tell me the other day, you ought to let me preach. That I ought to let her preach. And she said she could set some things straight if I'd let her preach. Now, I'll tell you straight up, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. She can get after it. She's got that teacher look, you know. And either you're going to run or die. It's one of those, you know. But I don't doubt that she could. Now, the damage that would happen may be another matter altogether. But our lives have been lived out mostly in functionality with the Lord's house. That has been the centerpiece of our entire lives. We had a little bit of sports and all with the kids, and both of us did. Dory played a lot of volleyball coming up. I played a lot of baseball and some football and other things. We could kick the can, whatever we could do. But our lives with our kids are filled with church things. That was the hub of our life, church. And activities and all, and little sports on the side, and some hunting also with the kids. They loved it, but she always thought it was kind of one of those things, yucky, you know. So she was not, she's into reading a book. And that doesn't work when you're hunting, you know, just might as well stay at the cabin or something. But for a spell, the vast majority of our time coming up with the kids, our vacation time was a matter of just going to either Yulee, Florida, or going to San Angelo, Texas. If we go to San Angelo, Texas, we're going to see Meemaw, we're going to see Sherry, going to see family, and they would run into town and go to some, you know, antique shop or something like that. If we go to Florida, mostly that was chores, honeydews, that Mama would have a long list of things for us to do when we would get there. Family chores and tasks that needed to be done. And never held that against anybody. Just glad we could go and glad we could be there to help out. And for years, it was just the 1 week, and we'd blaze out of here, you know, Sunday night and leave about 10 o'clock in the night, and we'd get there maybe just before dark the next day, driving all through the night. And I'd have to wake her up about 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, that last hour before daylight, I'm dying, you know, and I just need you to drive. And she'd get over there, and she's willing, but not very capable. And she'd get over there, you know, and I'd try to lean up against the door, you know, in her pillow. I never had her pillow. She's always taking her pillow and gets mad at me when I forget her pillow. Anyway, so I finally get over there, and okay, I've got to get some sleep. I'm dying here. I'm just dying. Sunday, long Sunday. Now I'm driving all night. Just, you got to help me. Then, hey, are you okay? I'm fine. Just put my seatbelt on. Well, how many times have you been putting your seatbelt on? You know. So finally, after about 40 minutes or so of that, I'll just do one of these. Just pull over. It's one of those loving things that you say to your wife. Pull over. I'll drive. I'll drive. No. Just pull over. You know. And pull over, and by that time you're wide awake because you're fighting, and now you make your own way down. But that was our life. And that was filled up like that. And then one year we went east on a trip, and that's when we had Stacy. We took Stacy with us. We picked her up there in Virginia. And we went through some of the colonial sites there in Virginia and Pennsylvania, and got to see some of those things then. Then later went to the Grand Canyon. I think that was a reward when you finished the building or something. I think it was finished the building, I think it was. And church sent us out there. So we went to the Grand Canyon, took the kids to that, got to see that. I was looking for a picture the other day. I was going to try to send it to Brother Colt. And it has me, I think we're on a big rock, maybe at the Garden of the Gods or somewhere around there, and I've got him up on my shoulders, and we're doing this, you know, good masculine stuff. And he's, you know, showing his muscles, and he's up on my shoulders, and I wanted to put it on a coffee cup and send it to him sometime. Don't tell him anything about that. Maybe I'll get it done later. But we went to that, and then we took a large trip later on in our 2016 RV, pull behind the RV, just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just to you know, you and I. So we took a trip, and that's when she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. But we took this trip, and it was the most and broadest experience we've ever had. I mean, going different places. It was the largest thing. We've never done anything like that in all of our life. And we saw a lot in that time. I think we were going 27 days, and we moved a lot. And I had to add a week to it because I was going to do it all in 1 week less than that. It was impossible. And now I understand RV life and what you have to do in reservations. That would have been a disaster. So I'm glad I didn't try to do that. But we started off, and many of you, you know, I know Paul talks about this and with Cindy. You know, Grand Tetons, man, the majesty of that. And then Yellowstone through Montana. I went and preached up there for a pastor friend of mine who used to be the camp director out here and at the camp. And then went on to Glacier National Park. And then from there, we went through and spent the night there at Crater Lake. And it was there I told Dory, said, even to whisper here, it felt like to interrupt God, just to whisper there. It was magical. Then we went to the Redwoods, and man, it makes you feel like a kid no matter how old you are. Old man, older than Brother Mark, looking up those trees, and man, that's a big tree. Everybody's stating the obvious, but it's just like you're a kid again, you know. It's an amazing thing, dynamic how it happens. Then we went out and saw a sunset on the Pacific Ocean, went down the Pacific Coast, the highway, Lake Tahoe. We went up and parasailing behind the boat, and I had borrowed somebody's camera, and I was going to take a picture, and I about threw up all over up there, you know. I get motion sick, and I was trying to do it. Finally, I had to stop that and just, you know, GoPro, kind of thing. And but we did that. We were way up there above that, and we had a good time there at Lake Tahoe. And then we went to Yosemite, and had a good time there. Then went south of there, went to a church. Then went to the Sequoias, the national park there, Sequoia National Park. Dory, help me out if I miss any of these things. Then we went through Death Valley to Bryce Canyon. She really liked Bryce Canyon. It was bad for me because I had to go to the restroom. You had to go way back up on top of the hill to get to a restroom. That wasn't too good. So if you ever go to Bryce Canyon, before you ever go on that trek, go to the bathrooms up on the top end, for take my word on it. Then we went from there, went to Zion National Park, went to Zion. And then Zion, we were pretty close over to the north rim of the Grand Canyon. We'd never gone to the north rim, been to the south rim, so we decided, let's go on over there. And so we went to the Grand Canyon. Then we went north of there up into Indian kind of territory into the Glen Canyon area where we took a picture. I took a picture up there over that the horseshoe, you know, you see everybody taking those pictures. And, man, it was a good picture of Dory, you know. And the yokels got a hold of that. I still don't know how they got a hold of that, but they got a hold of that and they blew that up and have that picture in my house. You know, man, Dory looks so good. She looks really good in that picture. And I like that and I'm glad that they did that. And then we went back up through Utah and we got to see, man, there's some beautiful country in Utah. There's some that are uglier than sin, but there's a lot of really nice places up there. Then back into Colorado, back in the mountains, down to Colorado Springs, Pikes Peak. We went to see one of the church planters up there, what the brother, Mark DeBolt. Went to a church with them, Pikes Peak, Colorado Springs, and then the Garden of the Gods, and back home. Man, that was something. I think we'll have to die to see anything prettier than that. I do. I think we'll just have to go to heaven to see anything prettier than what we saw on that trip. And the church had given us $2,500, and we spent every bit of it. I mean, we spent every bit of it. We had another trip that we took out west for the wedding of Daniel Robb. When he was getting married, and we tacked on, I think Kelsey went out with us, and then I think Brother Colton Shalise kind of caught us out there, and then we went back through Glacier and came back this way, and that was nice as well. Now, more important than all of that, there have been thousands and thousands of songs that I've heard my wife sing to our children and now our grandchildren. Now, a lot of them are spiritual, but some of them are just funny and fun, just fun songs. Many books read, many games played. Many times she's picked them up and tumbled them over her legs and over her head and just do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. I liked watching her do that. Yeah, that was also in her home, and I liked her legs to do that too. But many shoes have been purchased through the years. Many shoes, that seems like a never endless thing. You know, how many shoes can you wear? I say something every once in a while, about every 2 weeks about it, and she always points out that I have lots of shoes too. But dishes washed, clothes cleaned, rooms painted, prayers given, ouches fixed, scriptures taught, hugs, 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 kisses, 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 and yes, she does have kissable lips. She told me years ago, after I said that, that was very forward of you to say that. We were not married at the time. Yeah. Flowers and plants tended to with great care. My begonias. Crafts, piano playing now, puzzles and more. Church kids have had her as a teacher, a music leader, a prankster. Ladies have had a long, long-term Bible study leader. Songs sung in the Lord's house by the scores. Other ladies encouraged. Special programs led. Counseling, mentoring. Meals in our homes had saved tens of thousands of dollars for the church through the years and also enhanced the time and quality of relationships for everyone. Over 37 years worth of that. Dishes washed, house cleaned, yard mowed for companies coming. So many, too many to count. Smiles, giggles, scripture memorized. So long, so vast, I'm embarrassed for myself. Great achievements. So, I think I could safely say she could die now and would have met the criteria of dying in a good old age. I mean that. She couldn't. She says, Speak for yourself. Thank you. A great many sacrifices have been made, which only our Lord knows. And downscale from that would be things that I would know. But the church family will never know. And that's the way it should be. And I tell you, without question in my heart and my understanding of the Word of God, great will be her reward in heaven. So I want you to know we love you. I love you. Your children love you. Your in-laws love you. Your grandchildren really love you. Sadie loves you a little bit. And your church loves you. So happy birthday, darling. I pray each of us will have a long life, a fulfilling life, and when it's our time to go, we'll be able to say, I've lived a long life, and I'm ready to die in a good old age. Let's stand together for prayer.